Okay, is there a speaker against name, chapter, pronoun?
Privilege. Point of personal privilege?
Yes.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Quick point of privilege. Quick point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Guys, first of all, James Jackson, Sacramento, he, him. I just want to say, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum? I'm one of the people who's very, very prone to sensory overload. There's a lot of whispering and chatter going on. It's making it very difficult for me to focus. Please, can we just, I know it's, we're all fresh and ready to go, but can we please just keep the chatter to a minimum? It's affecting my ability to focus. Thank you.
Thank you, comrade.
Point of personal privilege. This is Jake from Radio Underland. And James, I think you're the biggest fucking pussy I've ever heard in my life. Oh, and to that mushmouth guy at the beginning that said that we couldn't address the speakers as speaker because it wasn't a proper pronoun.
Quick point of privilege
again. James, here he comes
again. Point of privilege once again.
Hey, calm down, James.
Hi, James Jackson, Sacramento DSA, he, him. I have already asked people to be mindful of the chatter of their comrades who are sensitive to sensory overload, and that goes double for the heckling and the hissing. It is also triggering to my anxiety.
Your anxiety, James. Sensory overload. Have you ever gotten laid in your whole life? I mean, wouldn't that be a little bit of a sensory overload for you? You freaking fruitcake. What the hell is going on with this country? I do like that Biden, though. I do like what he said.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
I'm not sure if the poor kids want to be as bright as these white kids that are holding this meeting. But anyways, this is Jake, he, him. For those of you that have to be extremely politically correct, I do identify as he, him. Those are my pronouns. I guess that's the thing that you have to do nowadays. You have to say, you have to identify yourself right up front. My name is Jake, he, him. He, him. What other options do we have? Her, her, they, them, they, them. No, fuck this. I want to be, my name is Jake, and my name is Jake, they, them. So when I just say that, when I ramble that off in a sentence like that, you know that I'm giving my name and my pronouns that I want to be called by. My name is Jake from Radio Underland. Jake, they, them.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
Well, yeah, Uncle Joe, poor kids are just as bright as white kids. So he's taking a financial tier, poor, he's saying poor, poor kids. And then he equates that to a race. Poor kids are just as bright and talented as white kids. Now, okay, we know, where does this come from? Where does this really come from? I mean, okay, we got to give Uncle Joe a break, right? We have to give him a break because he's an older gentleman. He's not racist or anything, even though he's been, you know, pictured shaking hands with the head of the Ku Klux Klan and other stuff. But he is not a racist. This is just a, you know, a slip. But what the hell is he trying to say? I have no idea. Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe. Crazy Uncle Joe. You know, I think the Democratic Party, I think since I'm not a big supporter of the Democratic Party or the, you know, extreme left by any means, I think it will be the biggest mistake ever by running Uncle Joe, which I think they're going to do. I think Uncle Joe, he is the contestant that's running for president that is endorsed by the majority of the Democratic Party. I think he's a little bit more mainstream. I think the only Democrat, you know, person on that side that's running for office would be Tulsi Gabbard, and she would be the one that would actually give Donald Trump a run for her money and appeal to that big mainstream Democrats that are in the middle of the aisle. But I don't think that I think the Democrat Party is going to screw up like they did before when they put Hillary in instead of Bernie back in. You know, the last election cycle, Bernie had such a homegrown, just, you know, he was on fire. And I think if they would have, even though with his socialist beliefs and all that, I think if they would have ran Bernie, he would have gave Trump a run for his money. But this time around, it's crazy how much fire Bernie had last time. And this time, he's not even at the top of the pack. You know, you got Biden up there. I don't think Bernie has a shot this time at all. I think they should run Tulsi. If we really wanted to have some actual thought-provoking debates and everything going on, I think they should definitely run Tulsi. But I think they're going to run Biden, and I don't think Biden has a chance of taking down Trump. And I'm sure with the amount of time that we have left in this race, there's going to be so many sound bites of Uncle Joe saying stupid things. And, you know, I can't believe that the whole video going around with him, you know, smelling little girls' hair and just acting creepy. I don't think even with that, with all those videos, that chain of, you know, it'd be one thing if we saw Uncle Joe doing this one time and it's like, oh, that was a little awkward. But I mean, there's like a reel of it that goes on for 5 minutes with him doing it to all kinds of kids. And my favorite is the one where he grabs another politician's granddaughter and the politician just yanks his granddaughter back away from him. Like, he knows something's going on with Uncle Joe. But that didn't seem to cause him too much damage. I thought it would cause him a whole lot more damage going into all this, you know, the cycle that we're in right now. But he's still leading the polls for the Democratic Party. Everybody loves Uncle Joe. So, you know, it is what it is. But he doesn't have a chance against Trump. He just doesn't. I don't believe it's going to happen at all. Like I said, if the Democrats are smart, they'd probably run somebody like Tulsi. And Tulsi, she has to hop off the campaign trail because she has to go back to the National Guard or whoever, wherever she's stationed or whatever is going on. She has to go out for 2 weeks of training. So she's going to be off the campaign trail for 2 weeks. I kind of wonder if that was preordained. Did they set this up to shut her up? You know, what's going on? But anyway, she's going to be off the campaign trail for a couple of weeks, and I'm sure that's going to hurt her as far as the polls and everything, getting her face out of the media for 2 weeks. And I did just pull it up, and it is she is going to the Hawaiian Army National Guard in Indonesia, and she says she's going to be gone for a couple of weeks. And I keep on calling her Gibbard, but I guess her last name is actually Gabbard. So for those of you that are listening to me and really, you know, screaming at the radio, it's not Gibbard, it's Gabbard. Okay, I got it right. Okay, so I'm sitting here and I'm doing this. It's so hot up here in the desert that I had to sit here in my little personal work trailer. I've got this little, like a 6-foot by 8-foot little trailer that I sometimes take with me on gigs. And it's got a couch in it and AC, and I use it as my kind of office/break room. And I turned on the AC unit, so I know it's being a little bit annoying in the background. Hopefully that doesn't offend anybody.
Quick point of privilege once again. Hi, James Jackson, Sacramento DSA.
Well, it looks like I offended someone.
I have already asked people to be mindful of the chatter
of
their comrades.
I'm sorry, it's just an AC
unit.
Who are
sensitive to sensory overload.
Comrades.
And that goes double for the heckling and the hissing. It is also triggering to my anxiety.
Okay, first off, I wasn't hissing. It's just an AC unit. But this group of assholes that had this meeting, first off, when I first saw this, Daily Mail posted it, so I was like, oh, this could be bullshit. But it's some freaking leftist Democratic Socialist Party convention that they're having, and it is the most outrageous thing I've probably seen in my life. I couldn't even believe that it was real, that these guys were, you had audience members yelling at the lady behind the podium because she used the term speaker regarding the people that were coming up to talk, and, you know, he's saying, oh, that's not the proper pronouns, blah, blah, blah. What a clusterfuck. And these are the people that the left thinks they think this is the direction that we need to go. They're out of their fucking damn minds. And comrades, what's up with calling everybody comrades? I mean, we're really going back to like the socialist kind of Russia vibe and calling people comrades like they're fucking some James Bond villains or some shit like that. These guys, I would love to go into that room and just start offending people left and right, because these guys are so easily triggered by everything. You can't applaud. Sensory overload. They even have one point in here where they're talking about where they have quiet rooms for people that have, you know, sensitivity issues, and then go to the quiet room, and they're instructing everybody not to be offensive if you're wearing too much perfume or strong scent. Don't go in there because that is offensive to people.
We have quiet rooms that are available. There's a range of options of these, right? Please don't go in that space with anything that's like an aggressive scent, for instance, right? Because we don't want to put people in stressful situations that they don't consent to, right?
We don't want to put people in stressful situations that they don't consent to. This is a level of logic that is going rampant around, you know, these parts. When I say these parts, I'm talking about the United States of America. But we do not want to subject anybody to any situation which they might find offensive, which I'm sure is, it could be anything from a cross around your neck to the cologne you're wearing. I mean, this is like a Saturday Night Live skit where you're making up things that people could be offended by. And they literally are going to the extreme of the cologne that you wear. That whoever you're around with that cologne, they need to consent to smelling your cologne. These people just need to live in a bubble. I mean, really, I'm going to walk around saying everything that I'm offended by and I don't consent. Like, next time some ugly person walks up to me, I'm going to be like, listen, pal, I'm sorry, but don't impose your ugliness on me. I do not consent to this conversation. My feelings are the most important thing, and it's all that matters. It's this total self-centeredness, man, and it's not good for the country. Just saying, well, I'm going to get off this story of these assholes because it honestly, I thought it was a joke, but apparently it is not a joke. That is real life. That is what is going on in the minds of some of these people. This is Jake Fite. He, him. Radio Underland. But regarding the show, we did have an excellent show last Tuesday night. What did we title that show? The full show is called A Libertarian Discussion About Gun Control. And we did have on presidential nominee Kim Ruff and vice presidential nominee John Phillips from the Libertarian Party. And they both came on and talked with us for a while. It was very interesting. It was very interesting to get their perspective regarding gun control and how they see things and how it applies to the Libertarian Party. And a lot of things about that I agreed with. Then we also had on the consenting opinion of Clark Cavolo, comedian and activist for bipartisan unity in political parties. Clark came on. And that was actually rather interesting because Clark, I believe, he wouldn't consent to telling me how much he had been drinking, but he had a comedy show earlier that night. And when I got him on the phone, if he didn't stick to that depth of the show, because it was later on in the show, but when I got Clark on the phone, I want to talk about awkward. It was hilarious. It was so awkward. The guy was obviously intoxicated or on something, allegedly. But if he doesn't have alcohol or something else to blame, then he's got some issues. Because I've talked to Clark before, and he's been like a really cool guy, and he is very, very political. But that interview with him, that did not go well at all.
About how to solve what we have going on in this society today.
What to do?
Basically, the question would be, how do we keep people from lighting people up with AR-15s?
You get people to stop lighting up people with AR-15s. I think the first thing you have to do is look at what other countries have or don't have that we don't. I think that's what you really have to like start at. What do we have that they don't? And
now, Clark, let me pause right here.
What's happening right now?
Let me pause right now and ask you a question. Now, Clark, I love you, man. You know you're a great dude, and you had a comedy show tonight. How many drinks did you have at that comedy show?
None of your business.
Okay, this makes perfect sense now. I like Clark even more now.
And the awkwardness of it was hilarity. It was just so funny. So definitely check out that show. That is a Libertarian discussion about gun control. That was from last Tuesday, and that's the full show that's up. You can definitely check that out. If you'd like to support what we do here, you can definitely do that at patreon.com/radiounderland. Okay, so now I'm actually going to stop pontificating and get to the news. Well, leaked video reveals ambulances coated in a radioactive deterring film arrived and were leaving a Russian naval base that reported an explosion last month. It raises concerns that the country is not on the up and up about potential radiation exposure following the explosion. One facility near the explosion detected a momentary and significant radiation spike that quickly normalized the day of the incident. If they're coating their ambulances and everything in a radioactive barrier, yeah, they've got a leak there. So that's Russia. Is this Chernobyl 2? Probably not as significant, but something's going on over there. Jeffrey Epstein is dead. Now, I must admit that the amount of memes that are going on the internet right now regarding Jeffrey Epstein and his death and regarding the connection with Hillary Clinton is pretty outrageous. There's been some good ones. And I'll tell you what, you know that there's got to be more to this when the left, the right, everybody in the middle, everybody is posting these memes and everybody believes a conspiracy that there's no way in hell that this guy committed suicide. Now, I look at this and I'm like, yeah, he had plenty of reason to commit suicide. At the same time, there was like a fellow cellmate that spent a lot of time in the same institution that he was at that said suicide was impossible. Other people deny that. They say that they even to like tie a sheet around your neck, there's nothing to hang it from in those cells, and they're paper thin. They won't even hold your weight. And coincidentally, of course, with somebody as high profile as Epstein, the video cameras weren't working outside the cell or inside the cell. So that's a little bit of a raise of the eyebrows. And did he really commit suicide? Well, I think everybody knew that when he went in and he was locked up, that if he didn't get out immediately, he was a dead man. He was a dead man, whether he commits suicide himself or whether somebody knocks him off, but he was just not going to make it to a trial. And, you know, when you have information that's regarding powerful people like Epstein did, they're going to find a way to silence you. And he knew that. So maybe he decided just to take out his own life ahead of time, or maybe there was some help there. The whole thing with the cameras, when you've got a profile, when you've got somebody that high profile and they're in your prison, you make sure everything is up to code. And you make sure those video cameras are working, because you know that people are out to kill this guy. He's out to kill himself. And one of the interesting things is he was removed off of the suicide watch, even though he attempted it earlier, about, what was that, like 2 or 3 weeks ago? He was moved off of the suicide watch. So I don't know, man. It just seems like he was such a high-profile prisoner that you really needed to keep an eye on him. And apparently the system has failed. But was it intentional? Did he do it himself? Nobody's going to know that, I don't think. The autopsy already came back, part of the autopsy, and is still inconclusive. So Epstein, yeah. What does that mean for everybody else? Who knows? Who knows? He died before he could open his mouth, so who knows what's going to happen. But that is going to be one of the most speculated suicides ever. And I'm sure Hillary and Bill are happy and everybody's happy. Hell, didn't he even have Obama over at his on his boats and stuff? So we'll never know what happens with that one. We're just never going to know. But on Friday, court documents implicated several high-profile men in illegal sexual activity with minors, including former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. And I think that they are going to release some low-hanging fruit names. You know, they're going to sacrifice some lambs over this just to make it go away. And looks like Mr. Governor Bill Richardson is going to be one of those names. And I saw that there were some others. I forget who they are right now off the top of my head, but there have been some names mentioned. And I'm sure they're going to, you know, release some of these lower profile names as just sacrificial lambs to satisfy our need to have some names affiliated with the Epstein whole saga. In other news, a Tennessee prisoner who escaped Wednesday has been recaptured. He's believed to have had sexually assaulted and killed a prisoner administrator on prison grounds before escaping. And guess what he escaped on? Now, this is in Tennessee. He escaped on a tractor. Authorities used security camera footage to find the man who was grabbed again Sunday morning. Cases of hepatitis A are exploding across the country, and that's due in part to the growing opioid crisis. USA Today reports that since 2016, more than 23,000 have been affected and 230 have died. The virus affects the liver and is highly contagious. Modesto, California has rejected a permit for a straight pride rally on August 24th, in which organizers estimated 500 plus some people would attend. But the city says it's nothing political. A spokesman for the city tells the Washington Times that the permit request was denied over safety concerns because the group lost its liability insurance and the Parks Department determined the event wasn't consistent with park use. Well, you know, straight pride parade. I think that's just kind of stupid. You got to have liability insurance to do a parade. And if you don't have liability insurance, they're going to cancel your parade. That's just kind of, there's nothing political about that. I guess the statement that the event wasn't consistent with park use, that's kind of fishy. I mean, what are parks used for up there in Modesto besides, you know, spreading hepatitis through drug use? The movie The Hunt has been canceled. The movie has self-described liberal elites that hunt and kill conservatives who support President Trump. Universal nixed the release just a week after mass shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. No word on if it will ever make it to theaters or even out to video. I never saw the previews for this one. I heard some people watching the preview said, hey, it looks like a good movie. In the previews, it doesn't really name Trump as like the target for these elite liberals that they're hunting. It looked more like almost like the Hunger Games, where you just have elite people. There was an old movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. What was it called? Running Man, where elite people, you know, hunt lower class citizens. It's been done before in movies. like I said, Hunger Games. I don't know. I didn't see the script. I don't know much about it other than just what my friends have seen in the previews that they saw. But apparently, according to this article, they're saying they were targeting Trump supporters. So, yeah, Universal probably made a smart move as not letting that come out. Should they be allowed to let it come out? Yeah, man, free country. But it might be a little detrimental to their brand if they have people protesting all over the place. But you know, at the same time, this is a big movie production. It's been out for, you know, they've been working on this for probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And nobody thought that this might be a bad idea. I don't know. Whatever. But it's not coming out right now. That's for sure. Bloomberg reports that the world's 25 richest families are worth a collective $1.4 trillion. That's a 24% increase since last year, adding about $250 billion into the total. The Walton family of Walmart fame adds about $70,000 in wealth every minute. That's insane. I mean, I must say I'm jealous. I want to be in the Walton family. I want to get $70,000 richer every minute. That's just insane amounts of money. But more power to them, man. Capitalist America, you know, they did it. They buy their shit from China. You know, they take advantage of the laws that we have in place with trade with China. And they sell to the at low prices to a lot of people all around the country. Whether they're reputable, whether they treat their employees right, I don't know, but they are making money nonetheless. So the security firm Kesey has commissioned a study to determine the most overworked cities in the United States of America, as well as those that offer the best work/life balance. Now, for the top five for the most overworked places in the country, you have coming in at number five, Chicago, Illinois. Number four would be Seattle, Washington. Number three, Atlanta, Georgia. Number two, Houston, Texas. And the most overworked city would be Washington, D.C. Now, they also have a list of the top five most balanced places to work where you balance your, you know, personal life and work. And I kind of find this hard to believe, but coming in at number five is New York City, New York. Number four is Minneapolis, Minnesota. Number three is San Francisco, California, where they allow you plenty of time to go take a shit on the street. Number two is Portland, Oregon. And number one of the most balanced places to work is San Diego, California. Now, speaking of people most likely to have hepatitis A, allegedly, let me take that back. That's cruel and unusual. But in entertainment news, Miley Cyrus, who is 26 years old, and Liam Hemsworth, who is 29, have called it quits. A representative for Miley, who wed Liam last December, said that the couple have agreed to separate at this time and focus on themselves and their careers. Rumors of a split began circulating after Miley was spotted in a photo on Instagram over the weekend without her wedding ring. Now, in current news for the swamp that we call our politics, let's go to Joe Biden. The unstoppable Joe Biden gaffe machine keeps on chugging. The self-described gaffe machine slipped up again on Saturday when he told reporters that he was the vice president during the Parkland, Florida massacre. The shooting happened more than a year after he had left office. And this is what he said. He said, "Those kids in Parkland came up to me when I was vice president." That's what he said. But he wasn't. It was a year after he had, you know, been dismissed from his vice presidential role. Last week, Biden also screwed up when he said poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids, which we covered earlier. A political correctness faux pas he quickly corrected. Biden told reporters he just misspoke and meant to say wealthy kids, not white kids. Okay, fair enough. I mean, if that's what he says, that's what he said. We all screw up every once in a while. He also said at the Iowa State Fair on Thursday, "Look, we chose truth over facts." Well, that doesn't really make sense, but it's Mr., you know, creepy Uncle Joe. President Trump pounced on Biden's latest gaffes on the White House South Lawn on Friday, and he said, "Look, Joe is not playing with a full deck." That's pretty funny. Trump calls out Biden and said, hey, leave him alone. He's not playing with a full deck. That's pretty bad when the president of the United States is coming at you and saying, hey, you're not playing with a full deck. Okay. All right. President Trump and the mooch are going at it. The mooch, who is the former White House communications director and top Trump supporter, Anthony Sacramucci, has been critical of the president's visits to Dayton and El Paso, saying in cable news interviews that Trump made the visits all about him and not the survivors. Trump hit back saying the mooch lasted all of 11 days at the White House. Mooch hit back at him again and said, eventually he turns on everyone, and soon it will be you, and then the entire country. And that's their little Twitter war that's been going on back and forth. Marianne Williams isn't feeling the love and sunshine from the Democratic Party. The 2020 candidate claimed that powerful forces on the left are out to get her and to keep her out of the third Democratic debate next month. The self-help author, who became the most Googled candidate during the last round of debates, thanks to her waxing poetic about love, peace, sunshine, and rainbows, has been the victim of what she calls a series of coordinated hit jobs in the press. Native American spokesperson, also known as Elizabeth Warren, Elizabeth Warren's campaign fired a shot across the bow of anyone who thinks her campaign is floundering. And she said this at the Iowa State Fair over the weekend. But it wasn't Warren herself who said or did anything. It was her supporters who showed up in droves to see the Massachusetts senator at several stops. Crowds chanted, 2 cents, 2 cents. And that's in reference to Warren's proposed wealth tax. Political analysts say that that's a sign of her strong ground organization in Iowa, and it's especially important now that the sprint to the Iowa caucuses has begun, because that starts right after the state fair. Bill Weld warned Republican voters in Iowa on Sunday that President Trump's rhetoric could lead the party to a massive defeat in 2020. Weld, who is a Republican challenging Trump for the Grand Old Party nomination, called on Republicans in Washington to disavow Trump's racist tirades or risk calamity at the polls. Weld also blamed Trump for the El Paso shooting, saying the killer's manifesto was torn right out of the Trump playbook. A former two-term governor of Massachusetts, Weld is the only Republican challenging Trump for the nomination. Also on a side note, doesn't look like Trump is in any trouble of winning the GOP nomination. A straw poll at the Iowa State Fair found 97% of Republicans supported Trump in the primary. 3% supported Weld. Now in the petty kind of bullshit about our political races, this is a pretty good story. And I can't believe the pettiness of somebody that's actually trying to run for president. But Democrat presidential candidate Andrew Yang ripped into President Trump's physique on Saturday. While saying he planned to limit his fried food consumption at the Iowa State Fair, Yang ripped Trump as a fat. And he also said he's a slob. And he also said, what does that guy weigh, 280 or something? That's what Yang said. And he added that he wanted to challenge Trump to a track contest and that he and America would love to see Trump pass out at a quarter mile. Oh, God, what can that guy beat me at, being a slob? That's what Yang said. For good measure, Yang also said maybe Trump could beat him at golf because Trump cheats, or a contest holding down a hot air balloon because Trump is so fat. A staffer for Yang desperately tried to intervene and stop the conversation with reporters, but Yang would not have it. I mean, isn't that just kind of petty? I mean, we're running for president of the United States, and you're going to say, you know, how fat is Trump jokes? God, get a life, dude. Anyways, this week at the box office, number 10 movie of the week is Bring the Soul. It made $2.3 million. Toy Story 4 slipped into ninth place, and it made $4.4 million. Spider-Man Far From Home is in at number 8. The Kitchen is number 7 at $5.5 million. Number 6 was The Art of Racing in the Rain, a really dog-influenced movie with Kevin Costner as the voice of the dog. That one made $8.1 million. And number 5 was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was brought in $11.6 million, and it's down from number 3 last week. Number 4 was Dora and the Lost City of Gold. It made $17 million. Number 3 was Lion King, $20 million. Number 2, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which made $20.8 million. And number 1, movie of the week, drumroll please, Fast and the Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. And it made $25.4 million, and it stayed at number 1. Now let me wrap this up with the rest of the fluff news. Ariana Grande may have a new man, according to multiple reports. The singer is rumored to be dating Mikey Foster of the music group Social House. Sources claim that while there is no official title, their friendship has taken a passionate new turn. John Singleton's mom is accusing one of his exes of doing nothing to help him the night before he died. Sheila Ward told TMZ that the night before her son passed away, his ex, Rayvon Jones, was with him, and despite allegedly seeing him in a weakened state and throwing up blood, she just put him to bed and left him alone. Rayvon told the outlet that she is shocked by the accusations, and if she felt John was seriously ill, she would have gotten him medical attention. Catherine McVie, who's 35, is ready to be a mom, according to Us Weekly. The wife of David Foster, who's 69, is ready to have children right away with her new hubby. Catherine reportedly made the announcement while vacationing in the Hamptons with her stepdaughters, Erin and Sarah Foster, who, while they are older than her, are totally on board with her decision. Kimora Lee Simmons is locked in a bitter custody fight with her ex, Dijamon Hounsou, the former couple who have been fighting since Father's Day, when Dijamon complained that Kimora wouldn't let him see their son, Kenzo, and now they're embattled in this he-said-she-said battle. He is filing for joint custody and child support while she is saying her ex has threatened to take the boy and move to Africa, where people can actually pronounce these names. Russell Simmons, who was once married to Kimora and remains close with her, told TMZ that a while back he told Dijamon that he could have Kenzo for a visit, but only if he would sign a document promising not to take him to Africa. And Dijamon refused to sign it. So there's a funny story in the news about Gwyneth Paltrow. Now, Gwyneth Paltrow, we all know that she's been in Iron Man and Iron Man 2. Well, there was a scene at the end of the Avengers Endgame where Gwyneth joined all the other stars. And if you've seen the movie, you know what scene we're talking about, where everybody's standing around. Well, apparently Gwyneth was befuddled, or she was mysteriously wondering why Samuel L. Jackson was there. But her Spider-Man Homecoming co-star Tom Holland came to her aid, saying, "Hey, he's Nick Fury. You know, remember, you've been in movies with him." Well, apparently Gwyneth Paltrow's in her own little planet, and she didn't remember that Samuel Jackson was Nick Fury. Following a recent encounter with a rattlesnake, and it landed him in the hospital, Mike Posner is getting back on his feet. The singer-songwriter posted a video of himself using a walker in the hospital he is currently being treated at. A source close to Mike said he is literally relearning how to walk again. The 31-year-old was in Colorado on an epic trek across the United States, honoring two of his friends who have passed, when he was bit in the leg by a baby rattler. Spencer Pratt wants Olivia Jade to join the cast of The Hills and tell her story. Spencer told E! Daily Pop that Olivia should be able to share her side of things as her parents, Lori Loughlin and Massimo Gianulli, we'll just call him Massimo, are implicated in the college admission scandal. If anyone can make it happen, it's Spencer, who has a direct connection to Olivia through her on-again, off-again boyfriend, Jackson Guthrie, who was the best man at Spencer Pratt's wedding to Heidi Montag. Wayne Newton's being sued. He's being sued over a monkey bite. A teenage girl was reportedly bitten by Newton's capuchin monkey, and the monkey's name is Boo. And this poor little girl had to seek medical attention for the injury. The attorney for the victim stated that the bite broke the girl's skin and she had to go to the hospital to get a tetanus shot. He added that since the incident, the victim has undergone follow-up treatments and is left with a gnarly scar. The whole ordeal has also led to her to seek counseling to deal with her fear of animals. So, Wayne Newton, you gotta, you know, watch your monkeys. You can't let your monkey out of the bag and let it start biting people. So anyways, that's pretty much the news for today. I've already went over my time limit because I pontificated a little bit up front. Tomorrow night we have, we have presidential candidate. Yeah, the taxation is theft guy. And what is his name? I'm horrible here. I should know his name. I'm trying to look up on my Instagram because I know I put up a flyer. And his name is, I'm waiting for my flyer to load, Daniel Berman. Daniel Berman, he is a candidate for the Libertarian presidential race for 2020. He's also a strong proponent of the taxation is theft movement. He's probably one of the most outspoken people about it. He's going to be coming on tomorrow night, and we're going to talk about it, and it should be interesting. Tell your friends, subscribe to all of our channels. That will be live on Facebook at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you'd like to support the show, we would definitely enjoy having your help. You can do that at www.patreon.com/radiounderland. Other than that, this has been Jake, he, him. That's my pronouns. Jake, he, him. And you've been listening to the Radio Underland. It's not every day, because I just don't have time to do this every day, but nearly every day, daily news broadcast. And actually, this is going to be the only one this week, because I'm way, way wrapped up in work this coming week. So we're going to do the show tomorrow night, and the show tomorrow night will probably be the last show for this particular week, because I've got a lot of stuff going on. But I'll tell you what, if you help support us on Patreon and we get some money coming on this thing, then I can take a little bit of time off work. So it's up to you. My future is in your hands. All right, everybody, be good humans, and I will talk to you later.